Rupert and Colin have both been speaking from Psalm 92 and looking at what it means to flourish, even in difficult times. And this comes out of a prophetic word that was given to this church about us entering a season of flourishing. And I have to confess that when it was first mentioned in church and when we were starting to talk about flourishing, I actually really struggled to connect with it. I found it difficult to relate to, and we'll speak a bit more about that in a bit. But somehow, in only a way that God can, even though I thought that I'd picked a topic that was completely unrelated to Psalm 92 and unrelated to flourishing, somehow I've ended up essentially speaking on exactly the same theme. I'm so grateful that God likes to snap us out of cynicism and humble us a bit. Actually, the more that I've been preparing on the topic I thought God was wanting me to talk about, the more he was beginning to speak to me about how it links in to what God is saying to us as a church and what God has been saying over the last few weeks. So I'd really encourage you, if you've not heard those talks over the last few weeks from Rupert and from Colin, to go and listen to them, because I will be making reference to them and it'll help to give a bit more context to what I'm saying this morning. And both Rupert and Colin have been speaking about a bit about the importance of perspective, about being aware of what God is doing, about what the kingdom of God looks like in the midst of difficult times, and about how we can flourish even in those difficult times. Rupert spoke about positioning ourselves, making sure that we had the right perspective. There's a picture there of some stones and some roses amidst the stones and a vase of roses behind there. And he had two tables here and was saying sometimes we can just be completely fixed on just the stones and don't see the roses. Because that's all that we're looking at. And he encouraged us to go and turn around to this angle and see that actually not only is there the hope of what's to come in the future, that vase, but also that the kingdom of God was beginning to invade now and sort of noticing that there's flourishing and God doing stuff in the now. He spoke of being God, being full of life, of being there and there being flourishing in the life of heaven. And Colin had a picture of palm trees that came from Psalm 92 and how we can flourish in the midst of a hurricane and how we can be planted in the courts of the Lord. And I found that really helpful. So do go and listen to those three sermons before. This morning I want to look at two passages in the Bible that I have been finding really helpful just now. And I want to share some of the things that I've been learning recently. For some people, these passages will be very familiar, but I really love that about the Bible, that sometimes, even if we look at things that we have read so many times before, that God can draw out new things and say new things to us and show more about who he is. So we're going to be looking at a passage in Matthew 6 and a passage in Philippians 4. And both of these passages talk about worry and anxiety. And interestingly, there are not that many passages in the Bible that specifically talk about worry and anxiety. There are a lot of verses that talk about the peace of God. And in fact, in the New Testament, there's lots of, it became a greeting, actually, in lots of the letters, and a blessing, and the peace of God be with you. But what I've been working through for much of this year is how on earth we get from that place of feeling worried and anxious to that place where we're living in the peace of God. Because it's all very well saying, don't worry, or, stop being anxious. But actually, how do we do that? Similarly with the stuff that Rupert and Colin have been speaking about, flourishing. It's fine to say, we can flourish even in the hard times, but how do we do that? And I guess I've been thinking a bit more about the kind of practicalities of that, and that's what I want to look at this morning. I've been debating about sharing, whether to share about this, because for me, worry and anxiety is something that's still a current thing for me, and so it felt a little bit vulnerable to do that. But then part of me was thinking, actually, it's really important that we're honest, and it's really important to be real And it's important to know that when we stand up at the front, we're not speaking from a place of we've got it sorted or that we're superior, but actually we're struggling with the same things that everyone else is struggling with. And so I felt actually really challenged that this is something that is good to share now. And I can speak from a place that it is something that's real and current and be able to share some of what God's been saying to me. What I'm not claiming to do this morning is to give a quick fix solution to overcoming worry and anxiety. I want to be really clear about that. It's very, very complicated. So what I'm doing is just sharing some of what I've learnt and what I found helpful in this time. So why don't we turn to Matthew 6. It's verses 25 to 34. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I really like that end bit. It's just so matter of fact. But anyway, this passage comes straight after the passage about how we can't serve both God and money. And Rupert did a sermon on that. He's been working through the Sermon on the Mount. So do go back and listen to that when you get a chance. And this passage, Jesus very much focuses on material things that we might worry about. And for those of us who might have very little income, or no money, and that is, you know, those things like food, drink, and clothes will be a daily thing that we feel worried about. But I believe the principles of what Jesus is saying also apply to when we might feel worried about a whole number of things. Because essentially what he's saying is not to worry about the future. And I think that that's something that a lot of us, I know for myself, I can do. Worry can be a natural and an important emotion because it helps to kind of lead to a response. So we're right to be worried if we've maybe, a while back I left the gas hob on in our flat and left the house. So right to be worried that maybe I didn't turn it off and need to go and turn it off. That's a normal and natural response. But it becomes an issue when we become preoccupied with it. And that's what leads to anxiety. Worry or anxiety often occurs when we don't feel in control. We fear the unknown. We feel vulnerable. We try to find certainty in an uncertain situation. And it could be that we fear other people's opinions, fear of failure, of not having enough, of losing someone, of losing something. And Jesus is talking here about times when our worry about something that might happen in the future stops us from focusing on what God is doing and what God wants us to do. It stops us from seeking first the kingdom of God. And Jesus is urging us to focus on today, to be present. He reminds us that worrying doesn't achieve anything. He says, "Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" What does it do? What is worrying doing? What is it achieving? Jesus is saying that your heavenly Father, he knows what you need. Your Father knows what you need, and he will provide it. So he's saying, seek him first, seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. He's saying we need to shift our focus. We need to change our position. We don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And what's interesting here is that Jesus is not saying there won't be any trouble, or there won't be things that we feel worried about. He's saying, stay grounded, stay focused. Keep our eyes fixed on the kingdom of God. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Put some boundaries in place in terms of your thinking. There's a Christian social worker called Brené Brown. Many of you may have heard of her. Other people have quoted from her previously. She's a researcher and psychologist. And she says that with fear and anxiety, often we find ourselves preparing for worst-case scenarios. And it's kind of a kind of self-protection, preservation thing that we do. And we believe when we're doing that, we're trying to manage disappointment. And we may not allow ourselves to get excited about things because we're worried that it's maybe not going to happen. And Rupert spoke the other week about not allowing cynicism and bitterness and disappointment to harden our hearts, to guard our hearts. And the thing with fear and anxiety and cynicism is it doesn't protect us. Actually, all that it does is robs us of joy and robs us of peace. There's an author called Rachel Held Evans, and in her book Searching for Sunday, she says cynicism is a powerful anesthetic to numb ourselves to pain, but also by its nature numbs us to truth and joy. And I know from my experience over the last few weeks of listening to these sermons, I feel like that cynicism, as that's kind of begun to be challenged and softened, actually kind of being able to be ready to receive and to be aware of truth and joy. Because the honest truth about myself, and Drew and I have had a few conversations about this, is that I can often seem on the outside as someone who's very enthusiastic and optimistic. But actually, the truth is that in my head, I'm very pessimistic, and I can get very anxious. I do worry about tomorrow. I worry about what other people might think of me. And I do sometimes stop myself feeling excited about things because I'm worried that they're not actually going to happen. I do find myself imagining worst-case scenarios. And this has actually gone to a whole new level during my pregnancy. And for a number of different reasons, there have been times that have been really, really tough. And at times, I've struggled to allow myself to hope because I've been living in fear. And it was actually my brother who reminded me of this passage in Matthew, and he sent me the Message version, and it really stood out to me, and I just want to read it here. It says, "People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes." And Jesus is saying, don't live in fear. Focus on now, on today. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And we're not going to know. There's no way, no amount of worrying or being anxious is going to suddenly let us know what's going to happen tomorrow. Focus on today, on what we know to be true. Seek first the kingdom of God. God knows what we need and will provide it. And so that's what I've been trying to do. But what was also really powerful for me was being prayed for by those well, been prayed for in itself, but also been prayed for by those who've actually experienced and lived through the very things that I fear And actually, the power of testimony, of hearing people saying, I've been through that, and I can still testify to the goodness and faithfulness of God. And I think that's, again, another reason why it's so important that we're honest with each other. Because we need to hear those testimonies. We need to hear that there are other people that have walked those paths and can still testify to the goodness of God. And that has been a really key way that that's helped me to increase my faith and be able to hope. Because I can trust that no matter what happens, no matter what that tomorrow holds, God is going to be there and he is going to be faithful. In Romans 8:6, it said, the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And in verse 15, it says, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. It's so easy to get caught up in worries about the future and what might happen or what other people might think of us. And I think sometimes this can come, anxiety about the future can also come from what Brené Brown calls a pressure to do something extraordinary with our lives. And I think particularly in our generation, I don't know whether this is true, but I'm pretty sure that there is this sort of sense of we have to make our mark in the world. We have to do something extraordinary. And that can really put a pressure on our day-to-day decisions. But what she's saying is that actually, when people near the end of their life, what they often look back and wish they'd done more of was the ordinary things. And actually, our lives are made up of ordinary moments. And apparently, when my grandpa retired, he said that one of his biggest regrets was not being around more when his children were growing up. And he worked such long hours, and he was always looking to what the next thing was. But in the end, for what? It didn't add a single hour to his life. And in fact, it robbed hours from what was really important. And I think this is what Jesus is saying, like, what is today? What's important today? What is it that God is saying for us today? Rather than always chasing ahead for the future. The title of this talk I've put is As Long As It's Called Today, and it comes from Hebrews 3. And that's a passage where it's encouraging. It's saying to encourage one another daily and not to harden our hearts and to enter into his rest. As long as it's called today. So every day, all the time, but taking one day at a time, as long as it's called today, this is what we need to do. But the question still remains of how do we make this shift? Because as I was saying earlier, it's all very well saying don't worry or don't be anxious, but how do we try and overcome this? And one of the biggest things that I have learned recently is that what's really powerful in breaking the hold of fear and anxiety is the power of thankfulness, or what some people might call gratitude. And I want us to turn to Philippians 4, which is another quite familiar passage for some people. Why don't we read it first, and then I'll say a bit more about it. So I've got this really annoying thing with my ear that I've had during pregnancy, so I keep sniffing to clear my ears. Sorry. Okay, so Philippians 4:4-9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And I don't know about you, but often when I've read this passage before, I kind of gravitate to the don't be anxious and the peace of God, but we actually miss the kind of the practical instructions of how we're getting from the anxious to the peace. Actually, the beginning of that passage starts with rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. And he even says, I'll say it again. This is so important. I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. Previously, I've sort of just skipped over that bit. I thought, thinking, oh yeah, just rejoice. But actually, this is a really important key to what he's about to say. Rejoice in the Lord always. And he says that when we're feeling anxious, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. He specifically says, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. When we identify what we're thankful for, when we praise God, even in the most difficult times, it declares what is true. It reminds us of what we have and what we know, rather than what we don't have and what we don't know, which can lead to worry and anxiety. And that's why worship is so important. Rupert was saying last week that flourishing in the presence of the Lord is preceded by worship. And in Psalm 92, as we sung first thing this morning, that psalm starts by saying, it is good to praise the Lord. This is before the flourishing bit. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love, proclaiming truth in the morning and your faithfulness at night. To the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp, for you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. So this psalm is starting off by declaring who God is, getting that perspective, and grounding us in truth. In Isaiah 61:3, it says that God bestows a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. A garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And a few weeks ago, people were invited to share what they're thankful for. And people came forward testifying that what they are thankful for in the midst of difficult times. And, Colin this morning stood up and shared really difficult stuff going on for you guys. But at the same time, was saying thank you. Thank you so much for this community, but also being aware of being held by the community, but also by God. What a powerful place to be in, to be able to do that. And I find that really inspiring and encouraging for me to hear that as well. And so when we're thankful, when we declare truth, it helps our hearts to be in a place where we're able to receive that peace. That thankfulness softens our hearts. It softens that cynicism. And recently I was in bed as quite late at night and I couldn't get to sleep. And I was feeling anxious. And I don't know, for those of you that have experienced that kind of thing when you're lying there awake and you're worrying about stuff and it can kind of get bigger and bigger and bigger and your heart can beat fast and your breathing can increase. I was worried about what was going to happen tomorrow, and I was worried about what people might think of me. And I remembered what I'd been learning. I was lying there thinking, I need to do this. So I lay there, and I began to speak out things I'm thankful for. I thought, right, I'm going to just focus on today. What's happened today, right now? What am I thankful for? And I began to list things. And the more that I began to list things and speak them out, the more I kept thinking of more and more things that I was grateful for. And And it was just incredibly powerful how in the process of doing that, your mind is focusing on what is true, what you know, what is good, and is not preoccupied with what you don't know, what you're worried about, what you fear. And the next thing that I knew, I woke up in the morning. I'd obviously gone to sleep, which is brilliant. I'm not saying that that's a kind of fail-proof solution. You know, that's not always going to work. But there's a power in grounding ourselves in what is true. That end of that passage in Philippians, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. We were away last weekend on the West Coast, and it was really, really beautiful, and there's a group of really small islands, and there was one morning that we were driving along, and everything was completely covered in mist. I don't know, I'm sure that many of you will have experienced that before as well. And after a short time, the mist cleared, and there was the most beautiful scenery. And I was thinking that the mist is a little bit like when we worry or are anxious. Because when we're in mist, it can seem oppressive and debilitating. It obscures everything. We can't see. We can't see either the hazardous things, and we also can't see the beautiful things. It prevents us from connecting with our surroundings. It can disorientate us and feel unsettling. Mist can feel scary and dangerous, especially if we're up a mountain. And we can experience that fear of the unknown. But the thing with mist is that it only takes the gentlest of winds to start to clear it. And in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is sometimes described as being like the wind, or like the breath of God. And I was thinking that when we start to think about what we are thankful for, and we begin to praise God for those things, when we declare those truths about who he is, what he has done, who we are in Jesus, when we focus on today and fix our eyes on him, it's like the wind of the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, begins to dissipate that mist. And it allows us to catch more and more glimpses of the kingdom of God. It allows us to see those roses between those stones. And although we don't know what tomorrow will hold, what we do know is that one day Jesus will return and there'll be no more suffering or pain or hardship. Yeah. And as our vision becomes clearer and we seek more of God's kingdom, it softens our hearts and enables us to receive that peace. That peace that passes all understanding, even in the midst of difficulty. And I know for me, this is something that I'm having to wrestle with every day. And I don't get it right a lot of the time. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but what I can do is stand here today and think about today. I can stand here and say that I know that God is a good God, that he's faithful, even when I wander off and try to do things my own way. I can stand here and say that there's so much that I'm thankful for right now. And I know that I need to keep reminding myself through thankfulness, through worship, through scripture and prayer, sharing with one another, that whatever happens, God promises never to leave us. And he'll give us the strength that we need for every situation. And because of these things, I can stand here in peace. And I wonder whether there are some people here this morning who found, maybe they've related to some of what I've said. There may be people here this morning who've been living with anxiety or feel fearful or do have times of worry. And it would be really good to make space to pray with you. We've looked today at the importance of thankfulness, of truth, of seeking first God's kingdom and righteousness. We're going to have an opportunity to do that soon. through worshipping just now. And if you feel that something that I've said's resonated with you, please come forward for prayer. I will be standing with you as someone who's also trying to figure this out. But I think it's really important that we are honest with each other and that we do allow God to work in our lives.